All
All
right.
right. Happy Thursday,
We're
everybody,
live.
and welcome to season one, episode three. We had a little bit of a hang up there. We thought we hit the go live button and we didn't. So
Yeah.
we did about a couple minutes there, but nobody got to see. Maybe that's a good thing. How you doing,
Yeah.
Nick?
I'm doing great. It's starting to warm up here, so I'm looking forward to spring and warmer weather and kind of saying goodbye to the cold, hopefully. That type of thing. And enjoying the sun.
Yeah. Well, spring has sprung. I guess, that's something we should bring up. It's looking like the April 11th show. We may end up taking that day off. I know you've got spring break with the kiddos coming up on that week. I'm going to be on vacation. So, forewarning, we may not have an April 11th show, but we'll definitely be able to tell you that next week. Just letting everybody out there in YouTube land know, hey, if you don't see us on April 11th, there's a good reason. We're just taking a little break. You looking forward to spring break?
Yeah, should be good. Just kind of we're gonna just kind of catch up around the house a little bit. No major traveling plans. But we're due our we do we have a big summer plan, so we're gonna do the Disney World adventure in the summer. So we're kind of laying low for
Nice.
spring break. But
Nice.
yeah.
Yeah, me and the wife are going on vacation somewhere sunny. We had a huge snowstorm last week, 2 inch, 2 foot drift. So
Oh,
she wanted to
wow.
go somewhere warm. So we're looking forward to doing that the week of April 11th. So,
Yeah,
all right.
me complaining about my cold is nothing to your 2 foot snowdrifts for sure.
the benefits of snow and driving wind, right? So this episode, we're going to be talking all about CF Tool Suite. It's a bundle of products to help engineers manage their platforms. And we're going to go ahead and bring on Chris Phillipson. He works for Broadcom. He is the primary maintainer and basically the creator of CF Tool Suite. So we'll go ahead and bring him in now. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be. I'm Chris. Thanks for the introduction. I've got what? Why are you all talking to me? Yeah, to me about this open source collection of projects, but from a place of maybe some self-deprecation and integrity. I've been a Spring fanboy since about 2009. I've kind of been to Java and all things software development for a few decades. I've run the gamut from support installations, design development, consulting, traditional enterprise software development, all the way through to cloud native. I think you two were along for the pivotal ride, or no? Nikki, no, you were at the tail end of that, right?
Tail end of the pivotal ride.
I was at a customer and then joined over after that. So
So
I think it counts.
I joined Pivotal back in May of 2017. I work for a guy named Duncan Nguyen, who wrote two books on Cloud Foundry. And he's over at Google right now. I think he's doing a like engineering directorship of some cloud products over there. But I learned from the best. And I'm here to talk about open source and CF Tool Suite.
Awesome. So I guess I'm sorry. I'm really excited about this episode because I've heard a lot about this, but I've never used it as a practitioner. So I guess I want to kind of see how much I could have, how could I apply it to, my current role, and then how can we help all of our existing customers and things like this with this. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Oh, just wait. You're going to get your mind blown. So I can
I
absolutely
know.
say this is a product that I used when I was a customer. And it has a lot of benefits, which I'm sure Chris is going to get into and we'll ask some questions. But this is one of those things that I believe, and Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, kind of developed organically. It came about because of a reason. But it is absolutely one of those tools that when I was a platform engineer, I would not live without. It did a lot for us. And with that, Chris, why don't you get us started? What, how did, tell us a little bit about what CF Tool Suite is and how it got started.
Sure. So let's rewind the clock back to maybe 2018 timeframe. There were some things that were going on. So one, I was in the role that you currently have, Nikki, and I was working with a big aerospace outfit here in the Pacific Northwest. At the time, I was kind of paired with another gentleman. His name is Vinesh. I met around, and he's also at Google. Good guy. Still keep in touch with him. But he was the guy that was maintaining the relationship with the platform team, and I was the guy that was going out to the different sites and doing workshops and trying to drive adoption and consumption of Cloud Foundry there. And Vinesh came to me, introduced me to the platform team, and they were like, hey, you know, we're growing, but we're really wanting to understand how the product teams, development teams are using Cloud Foundry. Like, how often are they deploying applications? What, you know, stacks and build packs are they consuming? Well, how can we notify them of things we want them to do? All these questions. And at the time, you know, Vinesh and I were kind of brainstorming and going, you know, there's really not facility within Cloud Foundry itself. I mean, there's the CF APIs for sure, but there's nothing in the commercial offering that we had there that kind of offered some capabilities around, you know, governance, aggregate reporting, policy enforcement and stuff like that. And so that's when we started to collaborate with the platform team. And there were a couple of gentlemen there that were keen on just pairing. And I would show up weekly for about an hour. We talk through some things. I go back, work on it, come back and demonstrate. And over the course of several months, a couple of projects were born. The early attempts. One was called CF App Inventory Report, and the other was CF Service Inventory Report. And they were just focused on detail and aggregate reporting. So think of it this way. You've got read-only admin credentials to CF. You're using a Java client library called the CF Java client. There's public projects I can show you in a little bit where you can find those and stuff. But and what kind of calls that could we orchestrate to bring back over all organizations and spaces on a foundation the applications and service instances that are there? And what kind of relationships could we call out? Do we have any orphaned applications, orphaned service instances, applications that might be not taking on any traffic and just kind of laying fallow, stuff like that. So that was kind of like the early times. That's where it all kind of got started. Now,
so that's one of the things. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you there, but talking about the app instances. I mean, that's one of the things where I round a lot of value is, you know, how do you plan out the capacity of your platform? Right? Mm-hmm. How do you know which applications are in there, how big they are, where your capacity sits? And that seems like something that's very important with CF Butler is not only does it tell you, you know, how many applications and services you got out there, but it allows you to see where your platform or your application teams may not be making best use, right? We've got a very high critical app, but we've only got a single instance of it. And this is something the CF Butler goes in and finds and reports back on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, other things that it does, it'll tell you what build packs are in play for an application, what version of a build pack you're using, what version of a stack are you're using, how long has your app been up or service been up and running, what state it's in, is it start or stop, who put it out there, it could be a service account or it could be a user, you know, that pushed the app. And then all kinds of aggregate details, you know, like you can start asking questions like, what are the organizations that, or you know, spaces, which typically, I don't know, in practice, what I've seen is teams aligned to an org in space or spaces, and it could be a portfolio of applications in that space that they're delivering. So you can start to ask questions like, hey, which teams are delivering their applications with velocity? Like, how often are they deploying? You can start asking those kinds of questions. You can ask questions like, what are the product teams that are lingering on old versions of Buildpack that I haven't yet upgraded? Or for example, that for that matter, stack, right?
You were doing Dora metrics before Dora metrics was even a cool term.
Yeah, I think it, I don't know if I was fully appreciative and aware, but I'm sure it kind of was getting kickstarted around that time frame too. So, but yeah, well,
Go ahead. That's something important for you know, not only the platform engineers, but also the people they report to, right? That's mm-hmm. going to help develop and tell the platform where they're getting value. If we're doing 100 pushes, 200, 10,000 pushes a month, that's something that helps justify the use of the platform and the resources that are spent there.
Yeah, for sure. So what else could I tell you? I mean, the geeky reason why I wanted to do this, if I hadn't mentioned it already, was there's this project called Project Reactor that came about around the same time frame. There was a notable Spring engineer, Stefan Maldini. He's no longer with us, but he and I developed a little bit of a friendship, and I got some coaching from him on like best practices, things that you can do with Project Reactor and now what we kind of take for granted in Spring Webflux, which is one of the projects within the Spring ecosystem. But it's about non-blocking. So what does it mean to build a completely non-blocking stack? You know, all of these applications that are in the CF tool suite are implemented with Spring Boot, the very latest version, Webflux, for database support, we're using R2DBC, which is a non-blocking database providing library or client. And, you know, for the UI, also keeping in the Java space, we're using Vaadin along with Apex Charts. And yeah, it's kind of a proof of what can you do with microservices architecture in a fully non-blocking stack. So that's the nerdy reason why I wanted to do all this, but it does solve, you know, some of these problems we're talking about, right? It caters to operators and developers and maybe even CISOs. We can get into why it would appeal to a CISO here in a bit.
So this kind of started out as a way to kind of geek out on new technology. It was kind of a Skunk Works project for you, you know, passion project, but it had a real use case behind it.
Right.
I guess
you talked about. Oh, I'm sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
It's like as we're talking about origins, I think we forgot to ask our first question before I get too far. What was your first CF push or your first experience with Cloud Foundry? And then before we get too deep down the rabbit hole of the
tool suite. We're going back in time now.
Yeah.
So the company that I worked for before I got hired on at Pivotal was a boutique consulting company based in Kirkland called Dev9. And we did a lot of work with clients in the region, a telecoms company, science manufacturing, or like equipment manufacturer for science, like labs and stuff like that. And what was the other one that I did? Oh, yeah. A travel bookings company here in the Northwest. And the work that we would do would start with not the project itself, like what you're building, but all the artifice. Like, what do you need to actually get started and to kind of turn the crank on being able to deliver software? So we oftentimes spend a lot of time just figuring that out. Yeah, greasing the skids, so to speak.
Right.
And I got a knock on the door, let's say, by a recruiter saying, hey, have you looked at Pivotal? I'm like, yeah, I'm aware of Pivotal. I'm also a huge fan of Spring. And I understand that Pivotal is the kind of like the company where all the Spring engineers are hanging out. Yeah, I'm interested. Tell me more about it. He says, yeah, have you heard of Cloud Foundry? I'm like, no, I haven't heard of Cloud Foundry. He said, he gave me some links to documentation. He said, one of the things that you're going to have to be able to demonstrate on this interview is some proficiency with Cloud Foundry. You're going to need to be able to install it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need to be able to demonstrate how it's using and talk to the value why. So I went through that research exercise in preparation for a job. And my mind was blown. Like I was like, as I started to dig in, you know, and I was like, you can take an app from source, build it, package it, create a container, deploy it, have a route provided, and do all that in a minute and a half. This is crazy. And then do that at scale for hundreds to thousands, and do that with, you know, a couple, three platform engineers, you know, minding the estate.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was sold. It was nice. A place I knew I needed to be.
Well, I'm glad
that there's a,
the interview
notice there's
out,
a theme right? there, Nick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Almost everybody sure. we talk to, mind blown seems to be yeah. words that always come out when they talk about their first CF push experience.
Yeah, if we could make Giphy's in here, it'd be like that guy's, you know, mind blown with the cosmic space and stuff. So, yeah, it's a very, very, very common trend. And it's still very relevant today. So it's great to hear that for story. Sure. And I guess we can get back on track with our regularly scheduled programming.
Well, I got to ask the question before we get back on track. I see the mm-hmm. A&M hat. Are you an Aggie?
No, I am for sure. Graduated with engineering back in 92. So I'm showing my age a little bit apart from the beard.
You can't say anything about gray here. So, all right. So back on tack. So one of the things that you had mentioned was, you know, the enforcement of policy. So how does CF Butler, how does the CF Tool Suite, how do those enforce policy on a platform? What kind of things can you do there?
Right. So we'll start with, for example, application policy. So application policies are where you can define things like, let me go survey the estate and find all the applications that are in like a dormant state or that are orphaned. Maybe they have no connection to a service instance. And let me just report on them. And furthermore, maybe I'm going to take some action. So I can assign an action for the policy to take. So it might be, I want to stop the application. Or it might be, hey, this application's been dormant. I'm going to go ahead and actively delete it. And lastly, when I do something like a destructive action, I'm going to audit the action that I took. So I'm going to write a record of what I did, right? And where I did it and when I did it so that I can go back and look. So this brings up something which is maybe a little bit of a tangent, but I think it gets to this idea of culture and it's like an operations model within companies. And it's like, is platform a privilege or is it a right? So what do you think that means when I say that?
So I love that intro because that was one thing that I think we've talked about on the very first episode is how the platform, you should have a contract with your developers, mm-hmm. right? A contract that states, this is how the platform's going to operate. You need to be able to update. You need to be able to make sure that you're resilient. We operate the platform as engineers, but as developers, you have to kind of ensure that your application is resilient. So I'm guessing we're going to go somewhere along those lines.
Yeah, it's very much in that way. I think it's what it really comes down to is the culture of the organization one that says the platform team must take a hands-off approach in terms of enforcement and policy enforcement, that the development and product teams are using the platform in any way that they like. And the platform team's job is to curate and provide the capabilities that these dev and product teams need and notify them when they need to do something, like to take some action. So the action part or the action taking responsibility is on the product teams. And so that's, you know, that's a model. If we go back to privilege or right, that's product teams have the right to consume the platform. If you're thinking about privilege, then you're thinking more about it's the platform team's responsibility to introduce policies and enforce and audit and track actions that are taken. And what I have seen in about the 6 years that this has been going on and engaging with different customers beyond the aerospace company that I talked about is that platform as a right has won out in terms of culture. Has a lot, understandably, a lot of teams, platform teams, are nervous about destructive action. They're okay with it maybe in non-production environments, definitely not in production environments. So you could have a multimodal ops model where maybe you have a platform as a privilege in your non-prov and platform as a right in your prod. But that's kind of the basics. So I know that was a little bit of a tangent from what you said about policies, but application policy.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at, you know, as a, you know, former platform engineer, you know, one of the benefits of Cloud Foundry and TAS is the ability for developers to innovate, for them to try new things, for them to move very fast. The downside of that is, hey, I want to try out a MySQL instance, or I'm going to try out a new schema and I want to build up this MySQL instance. We can do that very quickly. But the downside of that is when they get done, they don't always forget to do the proper hygiene and clear things up. So what I'm hearing you saying is CF Butler is something that will help the platform engineers to go back and do that and say, either through an automated fashion, here's a service that's out there that's not bound to anything, let's clean that up. Or, and I'm guessing this is where your hygiene policy comes in, to at least inform the developers, hey, did you know you left this out there and it's basically just consuming compute, but it's not doing anything. Here's your chance to go clean it up yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. So the policies kind of flex with the op model, right? And you have the choice of whether to execute, you know, like a destructive action out of an app policy, or a service instance policy, because likewise, you can do the same thing with service instances. You can stop and start and delete them with policies. You can develop things like whitelists that say, hey, go look at only these orgs or only these spaces, and then take action, right? And you can manage your policies, and just as you would your code, by placing them in a Git repository. And so then CF Butler can be configured to be aware of these policies and then wake up, like you can basically define a schedule and say, you know, on Monday at 5 a.m., I want you to look at, you know, these orgs and spaces and take these actions, right? And you could do a number of policies and just manage all that in your Git repo.
Well, before I get into my next question, I do want to inform you that Bits and Bots is out there already starting the Longhorn versus Aggie controversy. So he's throwing you shade in the comments there. So you might want to take a look at that and get back to Bits and Bots on why Aggies are better than Longhorns or vice versa. But
yeah, my younger brother went to University of Texas, so it's in the family.
Gotcha. So I think that's incredibly powerful. But, you know, Chris, I've got 5 foundations. I've got 10 I may have 30 foundations, right? How do we run CF Butler across multiple, you know, how do we do multi-foundation use with this? Is that something that CF Tool Suite will do?
That's a softball.
It is a softball.
Yeah. So that then, you know, that is the problem. Like if you've got a large estate, and you're getting all these individual reports across all these foundations, how am I able to get more of an aggregated or summary view? And that's where CF Hoover comes in. So CF Hoover is, you can think of it like a vacuum cleaner. It's set up to, one, be aware of all of the CF Butler instances that are deployed on the foundations. You typically have one CF Butler instance deployed on a foundation, and you register these CF Butler instance routes in a map with CF Hoover. CF Hoover works with if you're familiar with the Spring Cloud services, you know, the config server instance on Cloud Foundry, it will basically work with that config server instance. And the instance is basically pointed at a Git repo where you're managing all these registrations. And so you can go to CF Hoover, pretty much the very same endpoints that you have, the snapshot endpoints that you have from CF Butler, you have those also on Hoover. And when you go to Hoover, you're basically getting all the details across your foundations or a summary view of everything from all those foundations that have been registered.
I can see that would definitely be helpful.
For sure.
You know, all that can be visualized, right? So I wasn't, I'll full on admit that my skills with tools like Grafana or Datadog or, you know, name your tool for dashboarding were not as strong. And so I wound up just kind of building a custom dashboard using Vaadin, which was the UI framework for Java that basically consumes the JSON output from CF Hoover. There's nothing that says that you couldn't consume that very same output by something like Grafana or any of those other tools and develop custom dashboards. And in fact, I think some time ago, probably years ago, I got a request for that, but I never really got around to it.
Gotcha. Well, so there was another, if I remember correctly, and maybe you do, Nick, I don't know if you used it, but there was another kind of UI out there for Cloud Foundry called Stratos that did some of these things, but I don't think it did everything. I mean, was there a, and I'm going to ask you about another comparison here in a little bit, but do you remember Stratos, Chris?
I do. It's still around, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I even saw in the Cloud Foundry Slack that I think some folks are updating it or making some changes to it as well. So, yeah, we'll see where that goes. But yeah, definitely Stratos was a pretty popular, I guess, what we say, multi-foundation UI type of thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think about, is it possible?
So here's a great question. So is it possible to use Butler on Cloud Foundry, which are not non-Tanzu?
It is. You'll wind up basically disabling certain features. Like there's, if you're aware of the Tanzu application service, which is the commercial offering of one commercial offering of Cloud Foundry, there's the applications manager and there's the operations manager. The operations manager is something that is unique to Tanzu application, or basically what we have in Tanzu. So you basically disable that. What would you lose? You'd lose things like product metrics, like how often are you updating the build pack stem cells and what's the other thing I'm lacking? Your stacks.
Yeah. And that would also limit, you know, kind of the what products are installed. You would lose some of the PivNet additions to CF Butler.
That's also unique to Tanzu is there's the network.tanzu.vmware.com, right? That has all of the tiles and capabilities that you can install on a commercial Cloud Foundry instance. So those things are outside of, you know, open source, but you can absolutely use CF Butler with a Cloud Foundry instance.
And yeah, I think the primary thing here would be to say that, you know, a lot of the APIs are the same, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you could still use CF Butler would still give you a large number of what it can do, but you're going to miss those commercial side aspects like OpsMan, the network.pivotal.io tiles. Those things would be missing, but absolutely, I mean, it says CF right in the name, right? So it's definitely could be used on the open source as well. Just be aware that certain products would be missing, certain functionality.
I think the clarification, though, is in that second line where it says access to a foundry. So, yes, in the documentation, I noted that, and I was trying to stay aligned with general availability of commercial releases. So what would be interesting for me to know, and Nick, you could probably help me with this, would be what is the open source equivalent Cloud Foundry version tied to a commercial release? Or maybe you could help me with that, and we can call that out in the document. But what I'm trying to do is stay current and not, you know, be like N minus five. I'm trying to be like about N minus two in terms of major minor release support because change, right?
Right.
And it's tough to keep up.
Yeah, I think we'll have to, I don't know that matrix, but I think we could, it's probably in the release notes, we could probably make that correlation.
Yeah.
CF telemetry viz. Now, Deshaun's saying something I haven't even heard of either. So,
neither have I.
Anyone know what that project is?
I think you'd have
to. And I wish he was online so we could ask. But, you know, yeah. Deshaun, put in comments. That's something I hadn't heard of.
I remember it vaguely. And I remember working with him vaguely on it, but it's been some time.
So what's the future for, I've noticed, because, you know, I'm part of the maintainer, you know, I'm not a developer, but I am a maintainer on CF Butler. I've noticed we've got starting to see a lot more PRs come in, a lot of change coming in here recently, you know, within the last few months. What's the future of CF Butler and CF Tool Suite? What are you adding there?
Right. So let me see if I can talk about a few things here. I would say one of the things that's sort of evolving right now is this idea of assessment. And so, you know, that's kind of bread and butter for CF Butler. It's doing all the reporting across a foundation and in your foundations in your estate. But if we kind of zoom in and we say one vector might be Java applications, and in particular Spring Boot applications, you know, there's sort of this area where CISOs are interested in compliance and how well teams are keeping up to date with current versions that might be addressing critical vulnerabilities. And so you can approach that a number of different ways. You can go back to source. You can implement some kind of a scanner in your source code repository. If you're using, you know, build tools like Maven or Gradle, you know, they're doing dependency management for you. You can marry that with, you know, outside databases around vulnerabilities. And you can say, well, this particular version has this particular vulnerability, or it's tied to this specific version of Java that might be going end of life. I need to develop a posture and a plan for how I get current, right? Mm-hmm. So with Cloud Foundry and with TAS, we can ask questions of build packs, right? And, you know, if you know anything about the way that Cloud Foundry works, is that when you do a CF push, in the end, you're creating a droplet. A droplet is nothing more than a container image. Inside that droplet, if you built your application, your Java application with Maven, actually, it really doesn't matter. But, you know, one vector would be, if you build it with Maven, the POM file, the POM XML file, is actually embedded in the droplet. What would it be like if you could unpack that droplet in memory and scoop out all of the POM files in all the droplets on your foundation, mm-hmm. and then send that to some kind of health report. So, you know, we, as part of, you know, VMware Tanzu, have a health assessment report where you can take a POM file and get some readout on, like, what, you know, what's the state of the current state of affairs for an app. Mm-hmm. You know, if you could ask TAS to give you all the apps, that's one thing. The other thing would be, what if you could just say, hey, TAS, tell me where all of my Spring Boots apps are and what versions, and let me aggregate and maybe give some frequency analysis on specific versions of Spring Boot or Spring Cloud or Spring Framework in play. So that's some recent capability that has been introduced in CF Hoover. Mm-hmm. Lately, like in the last couple, 3 weeks. As far as like taking it further, you know, what if your Spring Boot app, well, wait a minute, let me back up. Spring Boot has a feature called actuators, which vend certain information about your application. Like one would be like the health endpoint. Am I up? What are my dependencies, et cetera? Another could be, what are the dependencies? And so there's a project that recently got introduced in CF Tool Suite called the Spring Boot Starter Runtime Metadata project. And it's a dependency that you can add to your Spring Boot project, and it will expose, you know, some endpoints, basically a couple of new actuator endpoints, and some contributions to the info endpoint. So what could you do with that? Well, you could configure CF Butler to go pull all the applications at that endpoint and collect the details so that you can understand what are the Java /Spring Boot applications in your estate. So there's some, you know, there's some instructions for how to pull that off that were recently documented and placed in there. And I think would also like to share a couple of maybe two or three decks that I've put together that should help people with actually being able to hoist this and get it working in their environment.
Yeah. Sure. Sounds great.
So while you're bringing up your slide deck and sharing that out, so if I understood you right, so we had talked about the spring health assessment with Deshaun and Dan on the very first episode, which is something that will help developers understand CVEs, support status, and upgrade status. So if I heard you right on that, Chris, what you're doing with this new project is the ability to kind of do that at scale. Rather than having to go in and run this command, if you're running within Cloud Foundry or within TAS, you can use CF Butler to pull those dependencies and kind of submit those at scale. Is that kind of what your intention is?
That's the intention. The whole processing at scale, what you wind up getting, and I'll show you, what you wind up getting is a tarball of a whole bunch of org space POM files. You could crack that tarball open and individually submit those Spring dependencies to the SHAR tool, right? That we're aware of that you've probably talked about already.
And what's your strategy on that? Does that go through and just pull out the dependency text files that people are submitting today, or are you doing an automatic submission, or is that configurable?
Let me walk you through that here. But Herb, let me bring up some stuff. And I know I'm looking at the time here. We're about, what, 30 plus minutes in? How long are we going for?
Well, we go for an hour. Yeah.
For an hour? Okay. I probably could get around to a demo too. Let's see. Present.
We always love demos.
Oh, for sure.
Nothing makes things stand out like somebody showing how it works.
So how do I, this is new to me. Share screen. Share. I want to do the entire screen. Hope that's not going to get me in trouble. Allow. You're probably getting. Yeah, exactly.
Inception.
Yeah. Inception.
Okay. So what I've tried to do recently is, you know, there's a piece parts of scripts and things like that that you can make use of, but like bringing it all together and making it easy for you to kind of work with it yourself. So there's two ways that you can use CF Tool Suite, and this is the full complement of services. One way is to install it locally on your laptop, desktop, workstation, server, virtual machine. Right now, there is only support for Intel or AMD 64-bit architectures. I am working on getting it running with ARM 64, and Deshaun will come to our rescue because he's got a Pakedo ARM 64 build pack on there. So I'm kind of working on trying to adapt this particular way of hoisting CF Tool Suite. But here you can see the prerequisites. Step one, you're going to clone a couple of, you're going to clone a repository and you're going to fork another. Step two, you're going to change directories. Step three, you're going to copy the sample configuration. And then you're going to adjust it or make edits to it. Step four, you're going to visit a application YAML file in your forked repo. This is the CF Hoover config repo. This is the repo that maintains the foundation to CF Butler route mappings, right? And you'll make the entries as stated here. Next, you'll go into Docker Compose, and this is something where I probably need to improve it because I don't want you messing around with the Docker Compose stuff, but this is where you're...
If Sean was here, he would be yelling at you. He would absolutely be yelling at you for the Docker Compose files. I'm surprised he hasn't put a comment in yet.
Yeah, I don't want people to have to do this, and that's not my intention, but I'm trying to think of a quick way for y'all to get this hoisted. Next, invoke the startup script, and then basically you're in place to test your footprint. So you can show logs of any of the containers that are spun up by Docker Compose. You can trigger collection in Butler, right, against a target foundation. You can refresh the cache. So Hoover UI and Archivist work with caches. So what they do is they invoke an endpoint on Hoover, take the results, and just cache them in memory. And then you can get your detail reports. You can go visit the UI, etc. So that's one way to get it hoisted. And maybe I'll stop there. Any questions come to mind? And of course, how you shut it down, right?
So this is this be running locally on your laptop in this stage. Yeah. Yeah.
So let me do that. So I have cloned and done all the steps. I just want to get to a place where I can start up everything. So this will take a little while. Maybe a couple, 3 minutes. Any questions or commentary in the meanwhile while we're waiting?
And you've got a couple of methods here, right? There's a couple different ways that you can do CF Butler with your new instantiation here with Docker. So this would be kind of a try before you buy, or this would be something where I don't want to run it on my foundation, but you can also install locally, you know, onto your TAS foundations themselves as an AI.
I have yet another presentation for on TAS, So
very nice.
Kind of the same sort of situation. You have some additional prereqs, right? Because there's some tooling here that you're going to need. You need the CF CLI. This is nice to have the SDK man CLI so that you can install tools like the Java Development Toolkit and some other things here. Let's see. So step one, clone. Step two, change directories. Step three, here you're going to copy different sample configuration. This is not ENV files, but JSON files that are then going to be consumed by a CredHub instance, right? For this configuration. CredHub instances, plural. So here's where we basically invoke an install script. And when you crack that script open, you're going to see there's quite a bit of things that are going on underneath the covers. But the first time you invoke it, you're going to basically, you're going to clone everything and you're going to build everything. So when you, the second time and subsequent times, you'll probably not clone and build, but you can flip these anytime you like. And the mode, full install is the full complement of software. If you crack open this script, you'll see that there's, I only want to install Butler. I only want to install Hoover. I only want to install Archivist. I only want to install the support stuff. You can change the mode. Foundation, well, that's the foundation that you're targeting to install all this stuff on, right? So this is just a little picture of kind of what you're going to get. This is basically the same thing I had asked in the local version is, hey, you've got to adjust the configuration in your Hoover config, right? So this would be an identifier for your foundation that you're onboarding and then the route to your CF Butler. Okay, so having done this, what you get is in-memory configuration for CF Butler, but if you want to expose things, if you want to connect CF Butler to a database like MySQL, then you're going to need to do some additional steps here. And so let me go back here. So this is basically exposing those actuator endpoints. What this is doing is it's enabling an actuator endpoints and then restaging the applications. This is setting the fetch mode. There are three different modes for how you can collect information about Java artifacts. The first two are around how you work with droplets, and that's kind of expensive to execute, particularly for large foundations. The recommended way, which is also maybe not the full picture, is to use the runtime metadata. So that's what's called out here. And then if you've made changes to your Hoover config in the Git repo, your config server instance needs to be made aware of those changes. So this script updates the config server instance to say, hey, there's some changes that have happened on Git that I need to be made aware of. And then it restages Hoover. And then, let's see, this is optional. You can have a MySQL backend, or maybe you don't want one, but this is how you switch things up. And the thing to note here is, you know, depending on your foundation, your service plan may not be known as DB Medium. It might be known as something else, right? And you can come to know what plans you have by executing this line here.
Well, and I think, Chris, there was something that we kind of skipped over there, right? So with CF Butler, when you deploy that, you can deploy that to a database. But what you see within that database with just CF Butler deployed is kind of a point in time. We do save the information, but it's a point in time. So where does CF Archivist come in? What is the purpose of CF Archivist?
That's a great question, Nikki. So Archivist takes Hoover and Hoover UI and put some state behind it and basically says what snapshots are, just that they're point in time collection. Every time Butler wakes up and collects a snapshot, it actually deletes the prior snapshot. It erases everything. Mm-hmm. Archivist will actually save that point in time collection so that you can do things like trend analysis over time. So that's the difference.
And have we seen, if we're looking, based on what the cron period is for CF Butler, have you done any type of investigation into how fast Archivist grows? What size database are we talking here? Is this something that, small, medium is going to support for large foundations, or is it going to have to be something that's a little bit bigger? We're not talking data lake here, right?
Yeah, no. Each collection is on the order of kilobytes. Right. Okay. And that's for thousands of applications. You're not talking about much, kilobytes to megabytes. And so you could do, that's the other thing. How often are you collecting? Do you want to do it every hour? Do you want to do it every day, every week? That's up to you. And so then retention is another thing. Like, you can set up database triggers and other things in the database to basically do things like offload or archive data. I leave that as an operational concern for a database team. That's the basics. So yeah, in the meanwhile, all this stuff hopefully is up and running. And so yeah, you can see here are all the containers that got spun up by this Docker Compose configuration. And we can do things like, I know that Butler is operating on port 8080. And if I want snapshot details, I can ask this question. Ooh, look at that.
Ah, the demo gods.
Is it this? There we go.
There you go. Can you zoom in a little bit on that? Sorry to...
Let me see. How do I do that? Is it just a control plus?
Command. Oh. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Thanks. My eyes were...
Yeah, no, it's all good.
Yeah.
All good. So you can see kind of the information here. So this is probably, that's a lot of information, right? So what mm-hmm. this is doing is it's showing the applications that are installed, the application instances. And so, details like the app ID, the app name, the build pack in use, what's the latest information? So for example, the application CredHub Broker mm-hmm. was deployed. It's using build pack version 1.1.8, but there's a later version 1.1.10 available.
Oh, so like that app hasn't restaged yet to get the latest bits, right? Nice.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be like an operations team concerned of, hey, I need to go mm-hmm. and upgrade the Credo broker to a different version, for example.
I see this is in JSON, so anyone that's wanting to use this, you can make use of things like JQ to really pare this down to just what you need, really customize the information that's coming back to you and something that's useful. It gives you a lot of flexibility in how you want to use this.
So this endpoint will tell us what of the applications running in the estate are basically on the foundation, because we're using CF Butler here. are running Spring, right? And so you can see here, here are the apps, right? Here's the droplet ID, and then here are the Spring dependencies, right, that it found for these. So we're pretty current, right? We're using pretty much the latest stuff here.
I can see where this would be hugely helpful to a platform engineering team to say, you know, hey, you know, Spring Boot 1.7 just went out of general support. Where are my applications that I need to kind of talk to make sure that they bring their stuff up to support? I can see where this would be a huge benefit to that.
Yeah. So this, I believe, is 8083. This is on 8083. This is the instance of CF Hoover that's running. And what you can see here is kind of visualized a single foundation's worth, because that's all I've configured it for. Mm-hmm. It's pointing at a foundation called Isle. Here are some of the applications, you know, that have been deployed, right? This is the application detail. And so if I open this up and I go to service instance, I'll get the service instance detail.
Oh.
And I can do things like filtering as well, right? Any of these columns you can filter.
Nice. Like show me all the MySQLs or something of that nature.
Right. Nice. And then here's all the users. So your user accounts and your service accounts, right? Mm-hmm. Now on if you're running Tanzu application service, you have a thing in the admin interface called the billing or accounting view, mm-hmm. which will give you reports. Right. Well, this is doing the very same things. Right. But what this is doing, since it's Hoover, is for every foundation you've registered, it's bringing all of those accounting details in. So you can see all of that stuff aggregated across your foundations. So it's doing that work for you.
Is this right exportable, Chris?
I don't have export functionality in here, but what you can do. What you can do, the very same information you're seeing here is coming out of Hoover. So you get it as JSON, and you can take that JSON and and transform it into whatever you like, right?
Okay.
You go to the Hoover UI works with Hoover. So Hoover UI is basically taking the detail that it's queried from Hoover and presenting it here.
And then just not to interrupt you, but Hoover is the collector of all the butlers, right?
That is correct. Yep.
Right. Okay. And then you have Hoover UI to visualize that. And then Archivist mm-hmm. pulls that collection into an archival state.
Yeah. I'm gonna show you that in just a moment.
I'm just trying to piece all these things together because there's.
Yeah. There's a lot here. So in snapshots, we showed the details, right? So the application instances and services, so you got summary view. So here we can see how many foundations are we keeping a track of? Well, there's only one. Mm-hmm. There's 8 organizations on that foundation, 15 spaces, user accounts, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Application view here. Now we can do things like how many applications do we have? How many running instances, stopped instances, crashed, memory consumed, disk.
Yeah, crashed.
Breakdown by build pack, right? Breakdown by stack, right? Breakdown by Docker image and basically velocity, which is to basically say of the applications that have been deployed, when were they deployed? So this is a pretty new foundation, but you can see in the last day, there were 3 CF pushes between 1 day and 2 weeks. There were 10 between so on and so on. 1 day and 2 days, 2 days and 1 week. There we go.
I guess as a past platform engineer who's never really seen this until today, I was like, man, this has been really useful back in the day, especially the crashed application instances, I guess in my past life. So many times, like, there'd be like a bad build or something, and then there'd just be apps hanging out there that never really, you know, landed, right? And then it's like, all right, well, how many, we just need to go and kill all the crashed app instances and just clean those up. So, I mean, I can, there's so many use cases I'm thinking of here, and this is great. So yeah, keep on going.
Well, let me ask you another question, Chris. This seems so on the commercial side, the Tanzu application service side, there is a tile out there called telemetry. There seems to be a lot of the same information that you see in telemetry. although a lot more of it in CF Butler. Can you kind of describe what the differences are besides just the fact that telemetry is only available on the commercial side, but what are the differences you see in CF Butler versus the commercial point of telemetry coming out?
I mean, the main unique feature of Butler is snapshots. So snapshots include application and service instance details that you will never see in telemetry because it's sensitive information. You're getting, you know, all the information about the org, the space, who did it, the application name. These are things that I think large enterprises don't want to leak into public domain unless they want to talk about the stuff. And also like the nature of their estate, how far behind are they on, you know, like, are they hanging out on old build packs and old stacks? Are they not deploying applications rapidly? Although there's really no reason why you should. CF, you know, Cloud Foundry helps, but it really is down to organizational practice, right? And culture. And then you can build all kinds of automation and tooling to help, but it really is about the culture and the operating model within the company.
Well, I think this would be...
Let me reword that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nick.
This would be tremendously helpful from a platform team to show your community, like, hey, we have so many, or even up the management chain, be like, we need, hey, development teams, we need these apps updated. We can see, you know, we haven't restaged in a year or two or that type of thing. So,
yeah.
And I would say on your telemetry to kind of reword that, right? So, you know, when we look at the commercial telemetry side, I would say that's more like the executive overview. That's the public facing view that you might want to put. Whereas CF Butler and Hoover are going to give you that very fine granular detail that platform engineers really need. So telemetry would be more towards your management and execs. But if you're a platform engineer and you really want to dig into the details, that would be there. And, you know, we all remember, you know, especially those on the Tanzu application service when we did the CF Linux FS3 update, you know, wasn't an easy thing to do necessarily. This is something I could see would be very helpful in that to go in and show me where do I need to talk to the app teams about upgrading their stacks and maybe even putting some automation around that.
Well, there is. I mean, there's the stack change policy. If you care to look at it, it will automate. So you can basically whitelist, or you can say, nope, just go look at all the foundation, find these FS3s and upgrade them automatically and just stand back and watch it happen.
So the tool suite will do that for you?
Yep. CF Butler will do that.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Yeah. And I think you had asked the question earlier about, like, what are we planning to do? I didn't get around to talking about that. I was talking more about some of the stuff that here before I finish and go on that thread. This is the stuff around, like, aggregating Spring and going, hey, across the foundations, here's the distribution of Spring Framework, Spring Boot, and Spring Cloud type stuff in play, right? And the different
This is awesome.
Right?
Hugely helpful.
Here's the details, right? Here's the application and their dependencies. So on that thought around, now I've got old timers. Let me see. What were we talking about before this? I got.
We were talking about the stack upgrades policy.
Yes. So while we have stack change, one idea that I'm exploring is, what would it be like to do an automated build pack upgrade? So, hey, all these applications that are hanging out on old build packs, if there's a later available build pack, let's just go ahead and upgrade it. Like, you don't need to redeploy the app. Let the platform take care of that through a policy. So, yeah.
One other huge use case I could see here is we've got a lot of customers out there that, you know, in their non-prods, they want to keep those a little bit more limited in capacity. So they want to do things like, you know, you can only have two app instances running at a time, or you can only have two services. This is something that in those non-prod foundations, you probably wouldn't want to use it in prod, but this is something that could help the platform engineers kind of enforce that policy without having to write their own scripts. And it's using the APIs that are inherent to Cloud Foundry and TAS.
There's an application policy for that. There's the scale policy. So you can tune it to say, hey, I only want, you know, this to happen, you know, this to be the case in this organization or space.
Well, we're coming up on time, Chris. You know, one last question I want to ask you. This is open source. We did post, and we'll post it again, you know, what the GitHub link was on that. Are you open to having people come in and contribute?
Always have been since day one. So if you are interested in getting involved, I'd love, you have ideas, you see something that doesn't look right, you want to fix it, PRs are welcome. One thing about that is I feel like I haven't done a good enough job doing two things. One, kind of describing the day in the life of like, what does it take to kind of work with these projects, and just some opinions and biases maybe to share with the community on that. And then secondarily, contribution guidelines, like what are things that are a must, you know, things that just need to be in play. This is typical of any open source project, right? So we'll grow up, but yeah, welcome any help.
Excellent.
Any ideas.
All right. And we'll post your LinkedIn. So if you want to get a hold of Chris, you can find him here at LinkedIn at C. Phillipson, and also on Twitter at Fast and Silver. So if you have questions, you can always reach out to me and Nick or Cloud Foundry Weekly on LinkedIn. We'll get those answered for you. If you want to talk to Chris specifically about just this project, then, you know, feel free to reach out in those two avenues. And, you know, to do the obligatory, if you guys are liking this, make sure you hit the subscribe button. You know, every video podcast has got to do that, but we're putting out content weekly. So make sure you hit the subscribe, make sure you get notified of new comments, and then keep a lookout in LinkedIn as we come back, and we'll be talking about next week and in the episodes after. Nick?
Yeah. Do we want to cover what's on next week while we're here?
Absolutely. So next week's episode will be .NET, you know, TAS being and Cloud Foundry being the best place to run your .NET applications. We'll have guest stars Andrew Stackoff and Chris Hester and Martez Killens on to talk about .NET and everything that you can do with .NET.
CF push your .NET apps. I think
that's right.
That'll be the title for next week. But it also sounds like we should maybe have Chris maybe on for a part two, because I have a lot more questions here. I want to try to play with this and see if we can get going here. So. I really appreciate the time, Chris. And then,
And you're taking comments and conversation on the GitHub repo as well, CF Butler. So make sure you get involved there. If you come up with stuff, put it on there. I can talk from experience. You know, Chris is very open to change. He's very open to when you post a bug. But I think going back and saying, if you're out there and you want to contribute to this is an immensely important tool, very helpful. So if you want to contribute, be on the lookout for the guidelines and talk to Chris there.
Yeah, and thank you for everyone tuning in live, too. Thanks for the questions. So it's great to see folks interacting with us, and it's great to, you know, have our guest answer these questions live, too.
Yep. Got a thanks, shout out from Keith Lee. Very informative. Yeah. So that's awesome.
Awesome.
All right. Until next time. Oh, go ahead.
One little thing I'll mention is just if you do decide to visit CF Tool Suite, there's a discussion area. That's where you'll find at the end of this, at some point today, I'll post the presentation material that I shared with you earlier in this. You'll see some stuff there. Thanks, y'all, for having me on. Appreciate it.
Oh, it was a pleasure. And as always, CF bye.
Bye.
Take care.